like to pray. God, thanks that you're here, that you're interested in meeting with us. So all the evidence throughout time points to the fact that you're interested in us. You're interested in a relationship with us. Show us more of you. Show us more of your heart towards us. And that we're able to just live out of that being loved by you. Amen. The necessity of intimacy. I wasn't here last week, so I listened to the podcast and I was challenged. Because Ben was talking about how the devices that, well, we live in a divisive society. We live in a society that is just, we can't get away from devices. And the need to just pull ourselves aside and go, okay, I'm going to have some quiet time with God. There's two men that Ben talked about. The first one was Moses and the second one was David. And I'd like to focus a bit on David and his heart towards God. So, did anyone like that video that was played during... Yeah, so Ben sent that to me as well. So Ben has just been thoroughly challenging me this week. Just how God has made himself vulnerable to us. So he's continually chased us. So when I think of intimacy, I think of a close relationship, a deep relationship, one that goes beyond the typical employer-employee obligations of I just turn up, I do my job, I get paid, I go home. Intimacy talks about a relationship with some complexity, where you're getting into actually know the dirt on someone. You get to know what actually makes them up, what makes them tick. Now, you might get a little bit of that in employer-employee relationship, but it's purely accidental. What I'm talking about is intentional getting to know someone. I can't say this is my strength. But I'm comforted by the fact that no human relationship is at the point of perfection. We've all, in every relationship that anyone has in this room, it could always improve. And that's the same with anyone's relationship with God. Can always improve. There's a deeper, we can get to know him deeper. It's interesting that we can sometimes fall back into just lifeless tasks when we're talking about communicating or engaging with God, where they don't have any meaning. And I'm not talking about discipline tasks, where I do this because I know it's doing good and I'm actually working on building a deep relationship with God. I'm talking about those relationships that, those tasks that you do without really even thinking. For me, that's a misunderstanding of the fact that God actually has an absolute claim on us. So he wants everything. If anyone's ever played poker, the only option when one person goes all in and they have a lot of the pot is to go all in yourself or just fold. And that's where we sit with God. God wants all in. So ever heard that you're being called? You're being called. So If we look at David, as mentioned by Ben last week, so he's famous for writing psalms, so like Psalm 23, which says, "So the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. So he lets me rest in green meadows, he leads me beside still streams, he renews my strength." So the Psalms is a book in the Bible that is written over 500 years. It's written by multiple authors, and it's songs and prayers towards God. So it's written to celebrate victory. It's written to mourn loss. It's and at times it's downright angry. But the writers of these songs were trying to engage with God in an authentic and real way. And that was over centuries that these have written. So they're an amazing resource. But there's some really hard bits of them. So like there's bits where they're talking about desperation. Psalm 6, verse 2 and 3. "Have mercy on me, Lord, for I faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long?" And abandonment in Psalm 10, verse 1. "Why, Lord, do you stand off? Why do you hide in times of trouble?" And Psalm 13. "How long, Lord, will you forget me?" It's not deeply theological, really. God has already proven that he doesn't forget you. But this psalm, this writer of the psalm is going, "God, I feel like you've forgotten me. How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts?" Has anyone ever been there? "Day after day, having sorrow in my heart. How long will my enemy triumph over me?" Has anyone ever been there? The Psalms aren't trying to be correct. The Psalms aren't trying to be deeply theological. The Psalms are a heart cry, deep cry to God, to go, "God, I want to engage with you, and this is what's getting in the way." So if we were to look at a Psalm of David and have a look at what that is, how's this guy engaging with God? What's he doing? Now, I've given 24 bits of paper, so the majority of the church here. And I've asked these people to come up, and I'd ask them to come up now. And so verse 1 over there, verse 24 over there. And I've asked them to read it out like they're talking to God. Because that's what this psalm was talking about. So verse 1.
"O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me.
You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away.
You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do.
You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord.
You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head."
So the start of it was, "God, you know everything about me. You know, God intimately knows us." So do we think that we can, how can we possibly think that we can hide from God? He knows everything. He knows your dirty laundry. So what's David, so David's saying some facts here. What's he say next?
"Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand."
Thank you. If you can. So his response is an emotional response. His response is actually, "Wow! Oh, so God knows me that deeply. He knows me that intimately. That blows my mind. absolutely knocks my socks off. We'll continue.
I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence.
The Holy Spirit wasn't a New Testament invention. And that Holy Spirit inside us is God indwelling in us. Him being intimately involved in us. I think for me, that's the biggest argument, the biggest cause to say that God wants to be close to us. God wants to know us. God doesn't want to keep you afar off and smite you. He actually wants to be so close to you. It's amazing.
If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there.
If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the furthest oceans,
even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me.
I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night.
But even in darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you.
Thank you. And if you can move this way. Thank you. So, for me, there's been times where I have thought that there's something eating away inside me. I know I've done wrong. And I think, well, I'll just try and work it out myself. I'll just try and... So I'm over here doing my own little thing. I'm trying to keep that all to myself and not let it affect my outside appearance. Well, God already knows. And even dark is light to him. All I'm doing in that case is actually... I'm probably feeling a bit fearful, maybe. And fear is the biggest enemy of intimacy. So, now what conquers fear? Knowing that you're loved and God intimately knows you. So you can't hide anything from him.
You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb.
This has brought new meaning for me. So I have a 10-week-old daughter. Her name's Lydia. And we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has invested so much into us even before birth. Am I painting a picture, or is David painting a picture of how besotted God is in us? How much he loves us? How much he's invested in us?
Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it.
I picked Josh to read that verse. So, yeah. We are fearfully and wonderfully made.
You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb.
You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks, Matt. So we're actually... God again, we're seeing God has invested so much in us. So you're not here by accident. So you're not here by accident. So we're like Josh preached this morning. So we're here as a body to serve. So we're not here by accident. So God's got us here for a purpose. So this intimacy is for a purpose.
How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered.
Thank you.
I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me.
Those two verses, you might notice I've got different colours. Those two verses are really David's response to the facts of, wow, you've made me really well. You've woven me together. So there's the fact, and then there's David's emotional response to it. So in our relationship with God, we can stop at the facts. We can stop there and just go, cool, yep, I know that. But that heart-to-heart that happens is actually where we go, God, I'm so grateful for that. Thank you. And we start praising him. We start telling him how good he is. And it's where we've applied that to ourselves, and we're giving of ourselves. Now, I was thinking I might YouTube Psalm 139. It's a wonderful psalm. And all, pretty much without the exception, well, maybe one YouTube video that read out Psalm 139 stopped there. So, or skipped the verses in blue. So now I picked these people because they're mature and they're very friendly, and they wouldn't be offended by me giving them the verses that YouTube censored. So,
oh God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers.
Yeah. Not so much of the mature, hey? They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name.
Oh, Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you?
Amen.
Yes, I hate them with total hatred. The King James says perfect hatred. For your enemies are my enemies.
Thank you, Ross. They're actually really awkward verses. So when I felt very awkward giving them to those people. What are they going to think? They felt awkward getting them. Do I have to read that out? Can't I get another one? But to me, that's actually a real sign that you're starting to get pretty deeply intimate. So you're starting to actually get down to what really makes you tick. So what gets you goat? Now, it's not theologically correct necessarily, but it doesn't have to be. You're talking to God. So what is it in your life? That talked about enemies. What things in your life make you angry? What things get you anxious? What things get you worried? What keeps you up at night? So What is it in your family that you go, that just so ticks me off? What is it in your community that you'd like to see different? God wants to hear that. God wants to know that. He doesn't want the final draft of it. He wants it as it comes. And that's how you actually build relationship with God. You're sharing yourself. And that's what the Psalms do. That's what David did. David was a man after God's own heart. You can see at the end of those verses that David actually goes, so he's saying, oh, I hate them. And then he goes, oh, actually, is that right? Should I? And then he goes, oh, yes, I should. He's actually having this conversation with God of, what are you saying about this? And there's this dialogue. That's what intimacy is, that's that sharing. Now, obviously, it's better in a context of where you're not interrupted every now and again by Twitter. Yeah. So,
search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts.
Lord, point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life.
Thank you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. So David's gone through all these facts. He's had some moments where he's gone, wow, they're amazing. They make me feel so good. So he's then had a bit of a bellyache. So, and then he's gone, God, my heart really is towards you. I want to really please you. You know me, but I want you to know me more. And I want to be more like you. It's interesting, that video was talking about God being vulnerable. God in Jesus became vulnerable. So Jesus was killed on a cross. And the pictures that they paint of Jesus on the cross, they have him clothed, all, and some of them, no blood. But Jesus was naked. All the passerby saw him. And incredibly vulnerable. He became vulnerable for you and me. And as he's bleeding, that blood is covering his nakedness. He's bleeding his clothes. The Bible says that even our good deeds are like filthy rags. God knows you. He knows you intimately. And nothing you can do is going to be good enough to do it in your own strength. You're not going to be... So our only option is to approach him naked. There's nowhere to hide. If you're a follower of Jesus, you started your relationship by being vulnerable, by saying, I can't do it. I'm sinful. And you made that move towards God. My challenge is, what is it that you can do to continue that relationship, to deepen that relationship? You've been given the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can prompt you on that. Maybe there's something that he's prompted you while I've been talking about. Can you make a commitment to actually go away and do that? it's not about the doing, it's about the being. But often the doing helps. If you're not a follower of Jesus, he sees you. He knows you better than you know yourself. God made himself vulnerable to have a relationship with you. God has gone all in. Will you? Jesus is seeking an authentic, deep, intimate relationship with you. Thank you for your time.